Welcome to The Lost Aughts, a millennial that missed the millennium, an exclusive interview series presented by the Pop Culture Placebo PCP podcast. This podcast series explores the intersection of pop culture and social justice by shedding light on social isolation and helping reintegrate an inmate who has been in prison for over 10 plus years back into pop culture. Join pop culture specialists Lisa Ledesma and Pierre Vincent on a journey to rediscover the pop culture moments that defined the early 2000s, including Beanie Babies, Britney Spears, and the internet. Don't miss this unique and compelling series, which offers an insightful and thought-provoking look at the cultural landscape of the early 2000s.
Greetings, inmate 63357.
Good afternoon.
I am Gleep Glop, paroled red 3.145. I will be your personal parole unit until your term has been successfully completed. Records show inmate Ben has been incarcerated approximately 10 years, 5 months, and are scheduled for discharge.
That is correct.
Your incarcerated term exceeded the social integration 10-year threshold. Inmate has been granted a social reintegration specialist to assist with cultural and social reintegration for the years 1999 through 2010. Do you agree with this assessment, inmate?
Yes, I do. And thank you once again for this opportunity. It means a lot for me and my family.
Social reintegration for inmate 63357 begins in 3, 2, 1...
So we made it to 2000. We didn't make it anywhere. It's 1999.
We made it all.
We're at the beginning.
We're back in time.
It's just like Y2K. Starting over. It's just rolling over to double zeros.
Fucking end, dude.
Back to the beginning. None of the computers could figure it out.
Wasn't even the millennium, though. What's up with that?
Explain.
The millennium didn't start until 2001.
Because there isn't a year zero?
Yeah.
Right. It was the 900 and... Yeah, I see what you're getting at.
But goddamn, we were fucking scared as shit.
For the same reason that, like, the 100s aren't the first century AD. They're the second century AD. Because 0 to 99s are the first century AD. There's no year zero.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Are you tired of the same old vacations? Ready to try something different? Then pack your bags and get ready for the ultimate tourist destination, 1999. That's right, folks, boy bands, female pop stars, and rap legends. You'll go to the trendiest clubs and bars in town where you can sip on Zima and get to see the Backstreet Boys and 98 Degrees live in concert and dance the night away to Mambo No. 5 and Smash Mouth. But that's not all. Our package also includes a tour of Times Square on New Year's Eve, complete with the Y2K countdown. You'll get to witness history in the making and ring in the new millennium like it's 1999. And don't forget about the fashion. You'll get to rock baggy pants, oversized jerseys, and frosted tips like it's nobody's business. And with our state-of-the-art technology, you'll be the coolest kid on the block with your brand new flip phone, Instant Messenger. So what are you waiting for? Book your trip to 1999 now and experience a time of your life you wish never was. But hurry, spots are limited and this offer won't last forever. Visit 1999, the ultimate limited intelligence tourist destination. Book your trip now before it's too late.
So we're going to start off, first of all, by talking about how the world was in 1999. Okay. And the way we're going to start this is we're going to name a few things that did not exist in 1999. Okay. So.
Okay. Compared to today.
Yeah. Things that just didn't exist in the beginning of 1999.
Upon my release, this is what did not exist.
Music streaming. Streaming in general. In 1999, streaming.
I'm going to say as the average person. Computers. I didn't have a computer.
Yeah. at home. You know, well, at home, no, at home computers were a thing that a lot of people had, but computers,
yeah, they were.
But computers were something that sat in your living room and your whole family used it. Not everybody had one. They were either in their parents' office or they were in your living room, like where everyone could see it. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't something you had for yourself.
No, it wasn't like a personal device.
But media streaming in general did not exist before in 19.
No, it was all, there was all paper. There was just,
yeah, if you had a piece of media, if you had a movie, if you had a song or whatever, you had a physical copy of it. There was no, that's mind blowing today.
It's a monoculture compared to like a multiculture like we have now, because we have like the spread of information between all these different cultures. Back then it was a very monolithic. Yeah. Only input that came in was allowed to come in.
Totally. Media was way more controlled back then because you got your newspaper, you got what was on the radio, and you got what was on your television. And there were people that were in charge of the things that were shown on those things, right? Like it wasn't, you couldn't just go on to Reddit or Yahoo Answers or Facebook and like find some random Joe Schmo's idea of some fucking thing. You talked to your neighbors or your friends, or you got your media through a source that was controlled. Completely different world.
And if you wanted to buy something, you had to go one place and pay one price. There was no shopping around unless you had a whole day of driving from store to store.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that.
There wasn't no going on and buying something.
Well, also I think about the obsession nowadays, and I don't know how much you do that, but this, if I'm going to purchase something, especially if it's something that I'm planning to invest in, I spend literal days, if not weeks, going online, looking at reviews of a million options, like figuring out where I'm going to buy it, where the best price is, when the best time to buy it.
Yeah,
that did not exist.
That was not. And if it did, to such a minor degree that you were looking through newspapers.
No, you know what you did is you subscribed to
find
it was magazines.
Flyers.
There were magazines back then that specialized in helping people purchase things. Well, Consumer's Digest. There was literally Consumer's Digest, which still exists, which was a magazine that you could buy, and it was just a list of reviews of products.
I've read it.
I love
it's good.
It. I've considered subscribing to their website. I don't really know like how they're reviewed. Like I actually, my favorite review place off track is the Wirecutter, like New York Times.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Have you ever considered a career with limited intelligence technologies? Well, now with LI Industry online degree certificates, you can be fast-tracked to a possible yet unlikely career with limited advancement opportunities and grueling workloads at Limited Intelligence Industries. Limited Intelligence Industries, where we stopped caring and now want you to give us your data and money. 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 Money.
So I'm going to start talking about something, I think one of the more important cultural events of 99, and probably of, you know, TV as a whole. I want to ask, do you guys remember the premiere, or if not the premiere, then at least any of the showings of the Disney Channel original movie, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century?
Zetus Lapidus, I remember.
I have no idea.
Was Xenon 99?
Xenon came out in 99.
I'm going to say that definitely was not my scene.
Obviously, I was speaking with a slight hyperbole earlier, but I do think that it is, there's a certain class of media, which is speculative fiction that proposes a time that is close enough to a point of cultural origin that that time can be reached by people who viewed that speculative fiction on its first viewing. So like Back to the Future 2, we all grew up watching Back to the Future 2, and then the year that it was like looking forward to came about and people were like, why don't we have hoverboards yet, right?
It's like all the disaster movies were like that within like 5 to 10 years of when the movie was happening. It would always be within the foreseeable future that the world was going to end in that movie because they wanted the technology to be similar to what we have today, but they want it to be kind of in the future. Remember?
So what is this? Xenon Warrior Princess?
That is the fucking the parody that no one asked for right there.
Imagine that crossover. Yeah. There were a few lesbian icons in my life and Xena Warrior Princess and Xenon both contend for that spot.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
In a time of heroes, where the line between the past and the future is blurred, two worlds collide. This fall, witness the ultimate crossover event as the Warrior Princess and the Girl of the 21st Century team up in a brand new television series. In a world where swords meet laser guns, where a warrior princess teams up with a 21st century girl, get ready for the ultimate adventure. Xena, the warrior princess from ancient Greece. and Xenon, the space-aged girl from the future, are teaming up to kick butt and take names. Together, they'll face danger, adventure, and a whole lot of fun. They're the Time Warriors, Xena and Xenon Unite. It's a show that's part epic adventure, part sci-fi romp, and all entertainment. Don't miss a single episode. So tune in every week and watch Xena and Xenon take on the world. Time Warriors, Xena and Xenon Unite, only on your favorite network.
Xenon. What year does Xenon take place in?
Oh, God, that's a damn good question, Lisa. I don't have that right in front of me, but I can find out. But it definitely takes place in the quote-unquote 21st century. Now, if I recall, in Xenon, everybody is driving around in, like, millennial-era Volkswagen bugs, like the rounder Volkswagen bugs.
Ooh, the bubble cars. Yeah.
I mean, they did call that cars were going to get rounder. Cars did get rounder, I guess. Not quite that bulbous.
So. The year is 2049, so it is a ways off still.
Here's the thing, though. So in 99, they still thought in the future we're going to be driving, like, gas-powered cars.
I was a kid in those days, but I remember feeling like electric cars were kind of
well. There was that
thing.
One episode of that 70s show where Hyde talks about how they already have electric cars, and I remember watching that and asking my dad about it, and then being like, "Yeah, electric cars have been viable since the 70s, but like the oil company doesn't want them to exist." So I was aware that the technology was viable at the time, but my jaded 12-year-old self was like, "Ugh, these corporate overlords are gonna hold us down forever," you know? Like
we're obviously not the Tesla days, but when that should happen, people were pretty shocked. Like it was a crazy idea, remember? Like people were like, what the fuck, that's insane. Even though the technology had been around for a while, the idea that people would actually adopt it was crazy, even when Tesla came out. So back in 99,
oh yeah, do you remember
like,
people being
I
like
know. I don't
so
I think
proud of themselves for having
like
a hybrid car
cars, like,
much less like a
future.
Fully electric,
you know,
car, which is like so like viable now. I also want to say that like my wife was so ahead of the curve with hating Teslas. My wife has hated Teslas for their entire lifespan. Every time we saw a Tesla, she'd be like, fucking Tesla. And I'd be like, why don't you like them at Teslas? Like, electric cars are good. She's like, yeah, electric cars are good, but Teslas are fucking douchebag cars. Like, what, do you think so? She's like, I don't know. I just have this feeling that they are. And she was right. Like, that guy is the worst.
But I thought he bought Tesla, right? He didn't create any of that shit.
He used his apartheid wealth that he inherited to get lawyers to have him installed as a founder of a company that he didn't found. He was like, no, well, I need to be considered a founder of this company that I've bought into. And they did that. And now he is.
It's straight up apartheid money. That's just straight up right there.
And then he had a baby with Grimes.
Fucking musky and grimy. Just fucking gross, dude.
Ugh. They are musky and musty.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Did you know the majority of body washes are considered hygiene detergents or soap meant to clean your body? What does that mean in a world of ecological and social collapse? That's why I only bathe in the best. I'm not just the owner, I'm a devoted daily user, which is why my family only bathes in 100% fresh-caught grass-fed free-range gravy. Lee Bath Gravy is the greater, greasier gravy to get her better, cleaner. Don't forget to try our new express code for a redundant, overly complicated, and almost impossible checkout experience and get one bottle for the price of two but act in 5 minutes ago and you'll receive a special gift card that says your credit card has been stolen and your order was lost in transit. L.I. Bath Gravy, the greater, greasier gravy to get her better, cleaner. Brought to you by Limited Intelligence Technologies Gravy Division. L.I. Gravy, we are what is behind every dissatisfied customer's frown.
Yeah, so Xenon, a girl of the 21st century, is a work of speculative fiction. And I think it is fun to look at things like that and think, like, they proposed that by 2049, there would be people being born, growing to teenage age, and having never set foot on the planet Earth because they are living in space stations that exist in geosynchronous orbit and that are self-contained, self-sustaining environments that don't need connection with Earth in order to exist. But It also has,
I can see that,
a little bit of a Star Trek thing going on where it's like they have those, but it's not like some sort of dark sci-fi where like they have those because they need those because the Earth is uninhabitable, because she comes down to Earth and she learns that the way we do things on Earth, while a little old school, is also good too. Where like they eat like meat and stuff. Fucking and she's like, oh, Zetus Lapidus, like what is a hamburger, you know? Oh, you know what the farthest off thing about it is that like her obsession is Protozoa, who is a rock star in a band. And the idea that like a teenager's obsession would be like a rock and roll musician who's in a band, no less, who isn't like a solo act, but is like in a band. It's like, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Bands are dead, bro.
Teenagers dead.
Like rock music, but not played by bands.
Well, how does that work?
Like, well, it's like MGK. MGK plays pop punk music now, but he's like one guy, you know? Or Demi Lovato just put out that pop punk record.
I love the idea of lumping MGK and Demi Lovato, just naming like the worst people in the world.
I love Demi Lovato.
The worst those two.
I love that new Demi Lovato record. It was my most listened to record last year on my Spotify Wrapped.
If you were living on a space station though, right? And it's not like because you had to. It's just like a different, an extension of the world, right? Why are you an idiot and don't know what a fucking hamburger is?
They don't eat meat.
I know, but like they ain't got the internet up there or what? Oh, it's made in 99. They didn't have the internet. It wasn't even a fucking concept. Ah, they didn't even think about it. They didn't have the smartphones. They knew that wasn't even a concept. All right. They couldn't Google that shit.
They didn't have the internet as we know it today.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Are you tired of so-called GPS accuracy and helpful AI turn-by-turn direction? Well, now getting navigational directions has never been easier with Limited Intelligence's new direct voice command function. Did you know most people already have LI navigation available? To activate LI navigation, simply ask in a calm, kind voice, ask the nearest unfamiliar person. After a short computation is performed with dialogue transfer, you are on your way to your destination. Let's see LI navigation in action.
Pardon me, I'm trying to get to the nearest coffee shop.
Oh yes. So you turn left onto Hill Demon Drive, not Toad but Drive, then a right on three stars on your head, then it's right down to Decrepit and you're there. If you go past Gravy Lane, you've gone too far.
LI navigation by Limited Intelligence Technology, putting the haphazard chat back into the question. LI navigation, a subsidiary of Limited Intelligence Podcast, Gravy Technology Division.
While it is interesting to look at what Xenon Girl of the 21st Century thought the future would be like, so the one really strong sci-fi concept it has is, I think, space stations themselves. Other than that, her life is very similar to a child at the time, and everything else about it, I would say, is very aesthetic. They thought in the future, people would wear a lot of Lycra.
Is there a lot of silver?
Chrome accessories. Yeah, silver chrome accessories.
Yep. We're all about the silver chrome. That's what we thought the future was going to be
like. Lycra body suits underneath whatever other clothes you wore.
We were just going to wear like those space blankets everywhere. That's all we were going to do.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteed they had some Jankos that were fucking silver and shit. Y'all know about Jankos? You could fit a whole 40 in them fucking back pockets.
Yeah, I know about Jankos.
Each pocket. Or a St. Ives special brew. They don't sell that no more because it's made for the kids.
I know that if you wore your Jankos outside, even 4 days after it rained, moisture would wick up the back of them to your mid-knee. And like, you would be wet halfway up your legs by halfway through the day. Even if it didn't rain yesterday, like 4 days before, like the dew from that morning was enough moisture to soak your pants.
You know what you do? You know the trick, Peter? This is a player trick right here. You ready? 1999, you got them Jankos? You got them 40-inch Jankos.
Tuck them in back into your socks,
staple
back
into
your socks, right?
You staple a gun the back to your shoes, and then when you take your pants off, you take your shoes off, too.
Yeah, I do that shit.
That capillary act.
Yeah, it does. It wicks up, for sure.
I don't know if you know this, but flare pants and like bootlegs are back in style, and that's the same for girls. And literally what I told Nick, I was like, I'm gonna get a pair of flares. He's like, oh, then the back of your pants are just gonna be wet all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta take thumbtacks or staples and tack them to your shoes. That's 100% true. I used to do that. I didn't use a staple gun, I'll be honest. You said staple gun, and I thought, oh, that's so much smarter. Because it would pull the thumbtacks out of my pants. The tension when I walk would pull the thumbtack out of my shoe, and I go, God damn it.
I was just thinking about the way that we dress. I mean, Jinko's, like, for sure. I was thinking about, like, layers. I don't know if you guys remember girls wearing a really, really long shirt with, like, a regular size shirt underneath. And then, like, another shirt. You guys don't remember that? Maybe that's a girl patch. We used to wear just, like, so many layers of shirts. So, like
a
long,
you wore a shirt and then a shirt that completely covered the initial shirt?
Like, you would wear a tank top that was really long, like, say, went, like, halfway down your butt. And then you would wear, like, or, like, on top you'd wear, like, a baby tee. So you could see the long thing poking out the bottom. And it would be, like, lacy at the bottom. Buy it for, like, dollars. Just so many layers.
You know what 90s fashion I miss on girls is a t-shirt under a sundress.
Dude, that's a style.
Oh, yeah?
Maggie wears that all the time. I love that. Like a baby tee under a sundress. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's not like 99 style.
More like 96, 97 style for sure. We can talk about what nu metal guys wore. This is the height of nu metal. There's different zones of this too. Like, and this is not
Godsmack.
Godsmack. Yeah, you want to specifically talk about like the Sully Erna, like wannabe biker like type of nu metal fashion. Sure.
The ones that go, whoa, let's sing like that. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a whole genre of like metal with like, girl.
Okay, you've got like the original nu metal, like Bakersfield, Korn, cider sort of thing, which is more hip-hop influenced. But like a crucial difference is that an actual hip-hop guy, they're going to be wearing Nike. They're going to be wearing Adidas. Like, it's like the low end. Adidas would be the place where nu metal and actual rappers meet. Because Jonathan Davis is definitely wearing the Adidas tracksuit. But they're also wearing Champion and like Pony and stuff like that. Like athletic brands that like a rapper wouldn't be caught fucking dead wearing. Like ones that had gone out of fashion 10 years before. Fila, Champion, Pony, Tribal. I can't remember. I have to look this up. But Fieldy from Korn had his own shoe. It's Tribal. Tribal made the Fieldy from Korn brand model shoe. Bucket hats.
Oh, bucket hats are also back. And I'm a huge fan.
Okay.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like Kangos?
No, bucket hats.
Because I did have a Kango in 99.
Like a fisherman hat.
But yeah, like it goes on and it looks like a bucket. So it's tight and then...
It's round canvas. It's got little holes in it. It's
yeah, like, yeah, I can picture it.
Remember the original?
Like a fisherman hat.
Yeah, like a fishing hat.
Do you remember how low we sagged our pants back then?
Very.
Our boys sagged their pants. Devin, did you sag your pants?
Of course
way
I did.
Below your buttocks?
So, Lisa, I don't have to remember how low people sag their pants because I have not changed that part of my life.
Do not have your cheeks hanging out. Now, pull them up, Peter! Pull them up! It's like the male version of those TikTok leggings that make your butt look all juicy if you put the underwear right underneath the butt. It makes it look all round. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I know about the butt pants.
So fashion hasn't gotten any better,
I want to go back to nu metal fashion for a second, because I feel like 99 is the peak time for nu metal, and I feel like we only covered one thing, the Korn, like Bakersfield, sort of like, what if hip-hop guys were also a goth thing going on, right? Like, athletic wear brands, dreadlocks, and guyliner, and dark nail polish, and Jonathan Davis, a little bit more to it than that, like, you know, maybe like, you've wearing kilts and stuff like that, like black kilts, but then you've also got, like you said, the more like the goth thing, where it's like a little more radio rocky, or a little more like butt rock, like leather wrist cuffs, rhinestone jeans.
Those, I do remember those with the spikes.
Yeah, rhinestone jeans, silver jewelry, like guys who want to look like they're in like a biker bar or something like that. And then you've got like the much more rave and industrial influence thing. Static X or Dez Fafara from Devil Driver, or what Devil Driver is his new band, Cold Chamber. It's tons of facial piercings, colored hair, like Wayne Static from Static X with the crazy high flat top. That shit is like, that shit's a fucking world, man. Chain wallets for days.
Oh my god, the chain wallets.
I definitely had a chain wallet.
Well, you know what it is? If you wear your pants like I do, then you'll never feel anyone fish your wallet out of your back pocket. So you need something. Someone could reach into any of my four pockets and I'll never know.
All right, good to know.
So there's like a whole other like thing to take from Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, which is that while its speculative elements are interesting, the reality of its present situation and what it actually presaged in the real world is, I think, more germane to what else I have to say today. So Xenon Girl of the 21st Century was a very early iteration of a phenomenon that would be very big in the 2000s while you were not, you know, hanging out.
I was hanging tough.
Yeah.
I was a new kid on the block, bro. I was hanging tough.
I don't know if you guys watched a lot of Disney Channel in the common room.
You know what? I'm going to say that's something in prison? That's something you don't ask. Hey guys, hey, can we put the Disney Channel on or what, man? I'm gonna say that might give the wrong fucking impression. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Did you guys watch so you guys were more like a Nickelodeon crowd then? More Cartoon Network?
More Cartoon Network.
There was a whole slew of these made-for-TV Disney Channel movies. They had such a specific tone, such a specific type of content, and a really consistent list of actors or players that were like Disney Channel contracted people, some of which have gone on to big things. The one that would be, I think, most visible would be Shia LaBeouf, right? Shia LaBeouf was a Disney Channel poster boy. They were aimed at tweens and teens. I watched a whole shit ton of them, and I think that they are an interesting counterpoint to what I want to talk about mostly, which is media that was made specifically for a teenage audience. When were you 16 years old? What year was that?
I don't know. 92.
96. 96? 96. Okay, I'll be honest with you. If you were 16 in 96, that was very 97? Easy math to do, and it shouldn't have been difficult.
97. Don't judge. You know I'm not a math scientist, Peter.
No, hold on a second.
He's not a math scientist.
Yeah, everybody knows I'm not a math scientist.
Devin, were you born in 1980?
No, 82.
You were born in 1982. Okay, so then you were 16 in 98. That's fine. No, it's okay. If you had been born in 1980, and then you hadn't got that you were 16 in 96, that would have been troubling. But I am the same as you.
Troubling.
Like, if I had been born in 1982, I would have had a hard time figuring out what year I was 16 in. But if I'd been born in 1980, I would have figured it out pretty quick. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. Because that would be as easy as counting.
You just minus two.
It's adding in a lot of variables.
Add the two.
And, you know, there's variables that you got, like, geometry and shit and trigonometry.
In the year we're talking about right now, you were still a young man, which means that there was media being made for teens in a mass market format on TV while you were a teenager, because it's the media that I'm talking about right now.
Touché, worthy adversary. Once again, I'm not an age or mass scientist.
No, it's okay.
So.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
He's not an age scientist.
Definitely not an age scientist.
Okay, Peter?
Neither am I.
I'm working towards it, though.
What do you expect of him?
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Tweakers! 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 This weekend only, don't miss the Royal Collegiate Society of Meth Users online open house with live demonstrations with Professor Snagglemouth.
I'll be demonstrating the intrinsic rotational values of light bulbs used as pipes in a commercial back alley setting.
And just added special guest speaker Dr. Demon Beard.
I'll be speaking about recent developments in the unifying mathematical fentanyl theory. Together we will explore the working concept that a $50,000 car can be equal to or less than a 20 bag of stepped on baby laxative and drywall.
Main stage musical guests include Brutt Brillo and the Ass Jacks, Pimp Brisket, and many more. This weekend only, don't miss the Royal Collegiate Society of Meth Users online open house. This weekend only.
Did you know about two-way pagers?
I'm gonna say no, because I had a pager.
Did you know about two-way pagers?
No,
they were like pagers, but they had like a flip-up screen and keyboard, and you could send like basically text messages back and forth. And they had those like before cell phones came out with like text messaging, and then even afterwards, like you'd hear like rappers like talk about their two-way, yeah, like in rap songs. So talk about like a two-way pager, and like even when cell phones were a thing, for some reason it felt like a more luxurious technological item.
Here's the thing, this is how far we've come with technology, is that when I went in, I had a canary yellow pager, right? It's just a pager, just receives a numbers on there that I can call back. It has no messages. For people that don't know what a pager is, it's literally just a number I get. Then you find a payphone and you call back this number. But my pager bill was more than I pay for two smartphones now.
That's crazy. That's insane.
I paid more for that pager that did nothing than, yeah, think about that. That's fucking...
Pager. I never had a pager. Devin went into prison and people barely had cell phones. And he came out and we all had computers in our pockets. Dude.
Holy shit.
We all had computers in our pocket. Like, it was like, What the fuck, dude? He missed so this whole crazy era. Do you know what a candy bar phone is? A candy?
No, what is that?
Oh my god. Yeah, you fucking missed it.
I went from pager to smartphone. That's where I went from.
Yeah.
I had a pager. I had a smartphone.
Yes. The phones back then were pre-candy bar phone. And you don't even know about candy bar phones because those are post-99.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
But anybody listening who was not in prison will 100% remember candy bar phones. They basically, it was like the size of a candy bar and they were fat. Like, that's why I think they called it that. It was like a Snickers or something. They were like fat, about that size, and all they had was a screen and like the buttons like on a regular phone. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Could you play a game?
I think you might have had you could play like Snake, Pong, that type of shit. And there was no colors. It was that green and gray computer.
Yeah. It's like an old 8-bit kind of like Atari screen they fixed to a pager essentially.
Those obviously evolved. Like, honestly, in January 99, like, we're not at the release of any cell phones of note. So that's why I haven't gotten there. Eventually, cell phones will come out that like are worth talking about and we can dissect. But at this point, I just want everyone to know that like there are no your rich friend might have had a cell phone and your grandparents may have had a like car phone. But like for the most part, we're home phones. We're home phones and answering machine at this point.
Wired phones.
No, cordless phones for sure.
You didn't have cordless phones. Well, not 99.
you were out preparing yourself for horrible mistakes.
You're out making bad decisions.
Actually, you know what? You might be right. I feel like the average house probably more had corded phones, and it was more of a luxury to have a cordless phone at that point. It was because I'm thinking Grammy, my grandma, who I lived with at the time.
I do remember people having like cordless phones, but like they weren't.
You couldn't go very far away.
Because you couldn't go very far. We could go like to the next room, and it's like, what's the point of that or not having a cord? So most people just had like a corded one right next to like.
Honestly, I think the practicality would be that there's no cord in your way, meaning that like it's only for rich people.
You could walk around.
Yeah, who are like willing to pay extra.
But you couldn't go more.
No, you couldn't go to the other side of your house.
Your Bluetooth headphones will go twice as far.
From your phone. At least, dude.
Yeah, at least.
It was the length of like your average cord. In fact, I remember one of my friend's parents' moms having one of those cord phones on the wall with the cord that went almost to the fucking ground. And I feel like she had the most mobility of anybody.
We had a 3-foot cord.
I remember people having long cords, and I feel like that's probably better.
Because you could go outside. What you do is, because if you wanted privacy and you were talking on the phone, you dialed, you got it, and then you went outside. Like, that's how long the cord was. You'd close the door over this giant phone cord, and you'd be wired outside if you wanted to talk to somebody.
I also want to mention that, like, our imagination of what that could look like someday was headphones where you could walk to the neighbor's house. Like, we didn't ever imagine that you'd be able to, like, take a cell phone and just go into, like, the woods or whatever and be able to talk to people. Do you know what I mean? Like, we couldn't when we imagine, like, what's the future going to be like with phone calls? Oh, well, it will sit on your head like headphones. Like, we couldn't imagine it fitting in your ear at that point. There was no jawbone, Bluetooth, nothing, right? You know what I mean? It sat on your head like a hat. Okay, so that I kind of wanted to just, like, set the scene for, like, where we're at right now in 1999. Things are way different. And I just want to, like, preface, like, I just want to say, as we dive into this kind of stuff, obviously, there's going to be a lot of politics that happens during this time and a lot of, like, natural disasters and tragedies. That's not our vibe. We're going to keep it a little lighter. So if anybody wants to get mad about not talking about specific topics that may be heavy, that's not our vibe. Okay. We're here to talk about pop culture.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Don't let minor aches and pains keep you tossing and turning all night. Gravy PM is the first and only over-the-counter PM product with a sleep aid plus the 13¾-hour pain relieving strength of gravy. As with all gravies, this product contains a stomach bleeding warning and may cause severe stomach bleeding. As with all gravies, this product contains an allergy warning. Relaxing sodium may cause a severe allergic reaction, especially in people allergic to Old Fryer grease and other gravies. If an allergic reaction occurs, stop use and seek restroom as soon as possible. Gravy PM, brought to with flair by the fine folks at LI Farms, a subsidiary of Limited Intelligence Technologies Gravy Division.
So Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, is content made for teens, broadcast for free on television. But it existed at the same time as major motion pictures played in movie theaters that cost a lot more money to make, geared directly at teens that were going to buy tickets, go to the theater and see it, like they did in the 80s, like they had done in the 90s. But that doesn't happen anymore. Now all the content for teens only exists on streaming. You can look up a top 10 list of the teen movies that have come out this year, last year, whatever. None of them had a theatrical release. Like, Netflix makes movies for teens. Hulu makes movies for teens. But that's what they are. They exist only on television.
Yeah, there's nothing, like, just for teens.
Well, it wasn't, like, Hunger Games and shit like that was just for teens, right? Wasn't that a teen-based...
Oh, that's not a bad call!
Hunger Games is based on a YA novel series, but YA novels, not the same thing as teen movies. Because, in reality, YA fiction... those are the blockbusters of fiction. Harry Potter, The Hunger Games, Twilight, those are the best-selling books. They are the Avengers Endgame of fiction. YA is a reading level, not a market demographic. Hunger Games is more recent, but Hunger Games is also 10 years ago.
All those ones that were, like, fake Hunger Games, for sure, like Maze Runner, and there were so many, like, fake Hunger
Divergent.
Games ones that were, like, just teenage. Divergence! Mm. Yeah, there
but
you
again,
go.
But like, again, these are
they're based on books.
They're YA prose, and YA prose is the best-selling type of prose. It is read by millions of grown adults. They're just low-reading-level Bildungsromans. Like, they're not literally just for teenagers. They are made and printed with the understanding that a whole bunch of people that are a lot older than that are going to read this, because people don't like to read grown-up books.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Good evening, my fellow book lovers. Welcome everyone as always to our book club, where we indulge in only the most refined and exquisite pieces of art. Tonight, we have the honor of discussing the graphic novel masterpiece, Odyssey of Octopus.
I must say, I'm quite surprised that we have been presented with a graphic novel.
Yes, it's not often that we lower ourselves to indulge in such a simple medium. However, Odyssey of Octopus is an exception.
Well, I must say, if we're going to discuss something as plebeian as a graphic novel, I do hope it's at least worth our time. I doubt compared to the great literary classics.
Ah, but that's where you're wrong. The illustrations within this hentai novel are a visual feast for the eyes. The use of color and form is absolutely brilliant.
I do hope this erotic hentai novel is of a higher caliber than the average drivel that passes for literature these days.
Let us not forget that Odyssey of Octopus is a work of art that deserves a place among the most esteemed masterpieces in history.
I have to agree.
It's a refined and exquisite piece of art that transcends genre and medium.
Most definitely. I have to agree.
And so, another night of intellectual indulgence comes to an end. Thank you, my fellow elites, for your contributions.
I'd never seen a cartoon. I was like, oh, I want to fucking jerk off to that. Boy,
well,
howdy.
You know what? We need to show you some better drawings. All right, so I guess you were never 9 years old watching.
I know that, like, people have, like, a thing about, like, Robin Hood's, like, confidence and, like, suave, like, being, like a sexual awakening. But, like, what? Like seeing, like a confident and handsomely drawn cartoon character and thinking, oh, he's attractive for the first time is different than being, like, I want to jerk off to this cartoon. Like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, I want to take my dick out. I want to take my dick out and start manhandling it, you know?
It's so true. It's so true. It's way different. My first crush was legit Aladdin.
The love interest / drill sergeant from Mulan. Like, I think that there's something, like, attractive about him, right?
He's so fine. Are you kidding me? It's one of the sexiest cartoon characters of all time. We can name him. Okay.
I agree.
Definitely the trainer from Mulan. Robin Hood's
obvious,
up there.
He is. He's so confident, you know? He just really believes in himself.
It's the voice, dude. It's that guy's voice. It's so sexy. It transcends species. That's how sexy his voice is.
It's really, really on the nose. It's like super obvious, but Jessica Rabbit, you know, like...
A doy doy. Of course.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's a little obvious, but it's definitely there, you know. More than one kid found themselves with some sort of confused boner at, like, 8 years old in like a movie theater when that movie came out, you know?
I was going to say, you said that whole jerking off thing, but I feel like Jessica Rabbit might be the exception to that rule. Like,
yeah, you're right. That probably didn't happen. I've definitely seen like a lot of like people decide like, oh, this is going to be my porno cosplay for this porno that I'm making, you know, like a lot of real women who are constrained by like Euclidean geometry and can therefore never live up to the Jessica Rabbit like form, you know?
All right. Also, Tony the Tiger.
Okay, that one comes out. Are you kidding, dude? If you don't see Captain Crunch and think I want to eat that guy's Chester asshole, Chio. I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yes, Cap all berries.
Oops, all butthole in my mouth is what I'm saying for this guy. Just saying.
Oops, all butthole.
I'm just saying. If you didn't want to fuck the Sugar Smacks frog, then I think that you're dead inside. Okay.
Oops, all buttholes.
In my mouth.
Yum, 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 yum.
So, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century was a made-for-TV movie among many of its kind, right? One of the early iterations of a whole class of really, really shitty made-for-TV movies. We're talking Xenon. We're talking Halloween Town. We're talking The Quince. We're talking Can of Worms. What was the one with the superheroes, where his whole family were superheroes? The zucchini bread was like their kryptonite. Zucchini was. Or aluminum foil. Aluminum foil was their kryptonite.
I don't think I saw
that. Zucchini bread was just wrapped in it. Tons of these fucking garbage movies. These were made mass production to be digested for kids for free on television, but in existence at the same time, and coming from a lineage that you could trace back to the 1980s, there were theatrical release movies that were targeted specifically at teenagers. We're talking back in the 80s, your John Hughes movies, other Brat Pack things like St. Elmo's Fire. In the 90s, things like Can't Hardly Wait, Dazed and Confused, Encino Man.
There was a blurrier line back then. There was college and teenage movies were very blurry back then. Do you remember? Because I'm also thinking, like, even if you go back to the 70s, what are they?
Animal
the
House?
Fucking, bad. Yeah, like, what's that brand? The
National Lampoon.
National Lampoon, right? And that were college guys who started that, but that was kind of a beginning of young people seeing that this is a whole
to. Animal House is largely John Hughes as well.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. The National Lampoon,
I didn't know that,
was a magazine that was, so there's a thing called the Harvard Lampoon, which is a humor magazine that's been at Harvard for like, I don't even know, like 150 years or some kind of shit like that. And a lot of people who ended up working in Hollywood or as professional writers or authors or actors or comedians worked at the Harvard Lampoon while they were at Harvard. Tons and tons of people that you know of. Conan O'Brien, Fred Gwynn, Dan Mintz, BJ Novak. Lots of really, you know, great guys. And a couple of these guys who worked at the Harvard Lampoon left the Lampoon and said, what do we want to do with our lives? Well, you know, we do what we did. Our degrees are for. And they were like, no, why don't we just keep doing this? So they started a magazine called the National Lampoon to just try to keep doing what they were doing. They hired a bunch of other comedy writers. There was a series of articles written in it that were supposedly stories from the writer's actual college experiences. These were collated and then turned into a script that became Animal House. One of the major contributors to this was John Hughes, a guy who was writing for the National Lampoon. He also wrote a series of articles for the National Lampoon that became first vacation movie, which were also National Lampoon movies. And then he went on to make his teen movies. So I guess that ties in very, very neatly.
You know what came out? The Sixth Sense came out this year. Was that the world's first view of Sha-na-na? The Sha-na-na twist? Sha-na-na.
No, he did two movies before this. There's his student film, and there's also a movie that he wrote but did not direct, which is very different than the rest of his pictures.
You know what movie came out this year? Got horrible prison reviews. Got zero stabbings. That's how bad it was. Wasn't even worth stabbing. American Beauty.
Very popular movie.
It was a very popular movie. I never saw the movie, but the general consensus is it was like a pedophile movie.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It is. I wonder, I mean, this is a whole other discussion, but I need to watch it again because I wonder if it's like a Lolita type story or if it actually is glamorizing the pedophilia. I feel like I remember him being a loser and you kind of knowing that through the whole movie, that he's a fucking loser and he's not supposed to be like a hero, right? But I could be wrong. I don't know.
The prison rotten baloney got zero balonies. Three stabbings and zero balonies. American Beauty.
Right in the hole with that one.
Fucking isolation with that fucking thing.
We will be right back after this nonsense.
Let's get this. Are you worried about the end of the world? Are you convinced that society, as we know it, is on the brink of collapse? Well, fear not, for Limited Intelligence is here to save the day with our brand new Y2K Survival Kit. Yes, that's right, our kit comes with everything you need to survive the impending apocalypse. We've got canned goods, water, and enough spam to last you a lifetime. Plus, we've included a stack of Y2K DVDs to take you back to a simpler time when the only thing we had to worry about was our computers crashing. But that's not all. Our kit comes with a handy guide on how to make your own hand sanitizer from bacon grease, and we've even included a roll of toilet paper, just in case. So why wait for the next disaster to strike? Get your Limited Intelligence Y2K Pandemic Survival Kit today, and be ready for anything, available now at all reputable dark web crypto exchanges.
What did you think in the 99? Like, what did you expect 2023 to be in 1999? Do you have any memories of that?
Oh, 2023. I thought I would be, like, pretty decomposed from death from about 20 years or so. I mean, in 99, I didn't expect to see 2002. Let alone, I had no concept of 2023. That's like some future shit. I was putting the most into life. I was like, you know what? I'm going to hit fucking 20. I'm going to call that a goddamn win. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's so sad.
I think I thought I would be famous for something. But that's all I have to say about it. Maybe in that way, I'm no different from the teenagers now.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Placebo, PCP podcast, your ultimate destination for all things pop culture, with weekly episodes hosted by Lisa Ledesma, Peter Vinson, and Devin Baker. Our podcast offers unique and in-depth interviews, socially rich cultural insights, and the latest pop culture trends. Our sarcastic humor and witty commentary provide rare glimpses into the foolish folly of our world, making us a must-listen for pop culture junkies and casual fans alike. With a diverse range of shows and topics, the Pop Culture Placebo, PCP podcast is your go-to source for informative information and entertainment. Listen, like, and share our podcast, available on all major platforms, and join the conversation. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel for the latest news and updates. Optimize your listening experience with the Pop Culture Placebo, PCP podcast, the definitive guide to all things pop culture. You can always find your PCP podcast fix at Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, Radio Public, Anchor, Amazon Music, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, or from your normal podcast hookup.